time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Every year, I promise myself I'll find the perfect gift.
Something they'll actually use.
And love. This year, I found it. The Bartesian Cocktail Maker.
Oh, that's the one that makes cocktails at the push of a button, right?
Exactly. Over 60 bar-quality drinks, from martinis to margaritas. Perfectly crafted every time. I got one for my sister. And maybe for myself, too.
Smart. It's the season of giving and sipping.
And right now, you can save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers.
That's a real holiday miracle.
Because the best gifts bring people together and make the holidays a little easier.
Give the gift of better cocktails this season with Bartesian. Mix over 60 premium drinks at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. Don't wait. This offer ends December 2nd. Shop now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending upon where in the world you are catching this. This is On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jubin. Welcome to the program. It was a late night last night. Late night all over the globe as people tuned in to Hollywood's biggest night. And, well, this is what happens when you take down a whole bottle of Chicolina all by yourself. Feeling excellent today, ready to bring in my three best buds here. First up, you know him, you love him, Mr. Steven Sadak.
Thank you so much. Wow, this is so unexpected. I had no idea that this was going to happen. I
got to say, dude, your campaign for best supporting Sadak, you really hit the pavement, dude. And you won this year's best supporting Sadak in the XC's Awards, apparently.
It's true. It's more of a career award because I did my best stuff like 6 years ago. But
yep, absolutely. Speaking of best stuff 6 years ago, you know him, you love him, Mr. Eric Siska.
Yes, hello. We're kind of Hollywood's biggest blight was last night. Very exciting.
Hollywood's biggest blight. Alright. I don't know. That's Blight is a good like English accent word, I feel.
Oh yeah, they invented the whole language.
All right. And speaking of someone who loves language, the bookworm himself, Mr. Christopher Cabin.
God damn. Good God damn.
A lot of ashes in there.
Sorry guys. Sorry. I was reading Legacy of Ashes by Tim Weiner, and I had to go to the bottom of the ocean to find this whale of a book of the emotional feelings underneath surface of the waters that would be.
It wasn't great.
That sounded better in the mirror for sure. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes, we will be talking about all sorts of details from Hollywood's biggest night here. But this is, of course, On Screen Live, which means we have the duty to tell you what was going on at the box office this weekend. First up, this is Highest Gross. All right. Now, we were off last week, of course, which was the premiere of Creed 3, which did knock out the box office last weekend.
Oh, shit.
Andrew, I got to say, I love this Lagerfeldian look you're going with here. This is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, it's the combo hangover burnout headache. You know what I mean?
Got it.
I may turn down the ring light here in a moment so y'all can see my beautiful baby blues. But first up, still biting away at the box office. Let's see how many of those stupid things I can do this week. We're talking Cocaine Bear.
There he goes.
There was our little fella there. By the way, number five.
Yeah. Last night at the Oscars, when there was the whole thing like, God, can you imagine how horrible it would be if this was the actual bear and not the piece of shit that we put on the screen? Could you imagine if it was just light hitting a thing?
Right.
Could you fucking imagine the hell that would be?
They should have had a real bear, not only at the awards ceremony, but in the film.
In the film.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Get her with Jenny. Get the bear and Jenny together to give an award, I think.
Oh, yeah. Animal Takedown, dude. Yeah,
and he doesn't need cocaine, just a couple of Miller Lights to get a mellow and then get
shake it off a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But yeah, we're still snorting up some box office here at 6.2 million in fifth place. And then coming in at number four, still trying to pretend they matter. Quantumania, the Ant-Man sequel nobody loved. here at its fourth week, just another 7 million Eep City.
Was Jonathan Majors' suit tailored at all? That thing looked like,
dude,
he's the best looking man in Hollywood. He's better looking than I'll ever look in my entire life.
Correct.
That thing looks like a suit that you would get off the Halloween rack and then just put it on. You know,
dude, he looked like he just came from assassinating Abraham Lincoln. Like, what was?
Maybe they originally had a plan to do like a fat suit gag. And they had to take it out last minute. They're like, we don't want to do that. You know, it's probably not a great night with the whale up for everything, as we said.
But yeah, 7 million pathetic for that movie over the weekend. I think I made 7 million this weekend.
Really? Yeah. Man, their box office totals are shrinking. Oh my God. I'm going to fucking turn into Gene Shalit right on this fucking live stream.
I can't wait.
Up next in number three, this was a damn shame because this is what happens when you spend $6.5 million on a Super Bowl commercial. Whoops, it's 65.
I made $65 this weekend.
It's not that bad.
Saw it?
Yeah, I saw it. It's fine. I mean, it's Adam Driver. Seeing it.
I want to see it.
I just had other priorities this week.
Well, that's what I think that happened to a lot of people. I think this kind of, there should have been a better week for this guy. It just ran into a buzzsaw. Which, I mean, I can't tell you one way or another. I did want to see it because Adam Driver versus dinosaurs, sure. You know
what else? What else do I need from a motion picture?
More, as it turns out. I will say that. You need more than that. It does. But those two things are pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know how you don't try to drop this at like at somewhere a quiet week in the summer, dude. Yeah. Dinosaurs are for summer, baby.
Or January. Like it was done. Just get it out there in January. It probably would have done something against the Avatar. Maybe.
Yeah. But as it stands, you know, 12.3 million, not particularly great. Here we go. Number two, Creed 3. I still got to see it, man. I got to two, like, the week before it came out. And I thought 2 was a really good movie. I was bummed to have slept on it for so long.
I'm still sleeping on 2. I got to do 2 and then 3. I really do want to see it. Has anyone seen Creed 3?
It's an enjoyable movie. I think the problem with 2 for me was it just felt like it was flat. Like there was too much downtime in that second one. It takes so much. And the best part about it, Dolph and his son, the two Dragos, is kind of minimized, and I thought that was really the heart of the movie. I know you have to also have Creed and his whole family and all that stuff. This one, they kind of rush it. Like the second half is a little rushed, but the first half is very, very good. Him and Jordan playing off each other is kind of worth it. But they have to fudge a few emotional things that Ryan Coogler is very good at making sure are going to be there. This one, it's rushed through. They try to kind of make it a happy ending at the end, even though there's a lot of stuff they bring up that isn't happy. It's worth seeing, but not my favorite.
Was Coogler involved in this movie at all?
I don't know. Maybe a producer? Yeah, I mean, he's well out of these movies, it seems.
Yeah. And then here we go, gang. Number one, y'all guessed it, Scream 6.
Woo!
Film. We will be talking about this a little more at length in a second. But yes, number one at the box office with good gravy, $44.5 million. Well done. I believe this is the highest grossing opening for a Scream film.
What could be different about this movie than the other movies that could have pushed it over the top is what I'm wondering.
Oh, right. I wonder what it could be. I wonder what
it's. Dermot Mulroney,
Mulroney kiss.
I was saying, man, Dermot Mulroney. Now that unfortunately David Warner has passed away and got fucking freened, which we will bring up in a minute. I think Dermot Mulroney is my new like now we're talking. Like I see Dermot Mulroney and I'm like, now we are fucking talking.
You certainly haven't seen The Family Stone then, my friend.
Oh, The Family Stone, the Christmas movie? Oh, don't worry, Steve, saw it in theaters.
Oh yeah. That's a stay tuned and a half, by the way.
Yeah, yes. Totally.
Oh, we'll get there.
But yes, $44.5 million, Scream 6. Congratulations, Radio Silence and Project X and everybody involved. Fucking, I had a fun ass time at the movies, man, and not just because two beautiful pieces of We Hate Movies show art are featured in the film. But I had fun as fuck time.
Yeah, totally. I think it's a really great opening, the double opening thing that we're not going to talk about because we don't want to spoil anything. I thought that was really great. There's great kills. It's super fun. It looks great. I really like Jenna Ortega, and I keep forgetting the other
Melissa
actresses.
Barrera.
Melissa Barrera. I like that combo. It's the sister thing works for me, and I think that that's a cool little way to a stake for this sort of new franchise to sort of be ingrained in.
I like the combo of those We Hate Movies posters in the film.
Yes, I do.
Otherwise, I mean, we would have barely gotten by Creed 3 here. I think these posters did a lot of work.
They did. People in. And just a quick FYI, now that we are canon to the Scream universe, I just want to expand a little bit on Neve Campbell isn't in this movie. That's because Sidney Prescott is having an affair with Steven Sadek in that movie.
She fell in love with your Stab 2 review.
Exactly.
Yes. I get you. Yeah.
And her family was reeling from it. Like, you know, they're like, oh, Mark and the kids. Like, no, Mark and the kids are crying because
the only place I feel safe while a new ghost face is running around is in the arms of Steven Sadek.
They cut that one scene shorter than me.
You know, and for what it's worth, and I love Nev, you know, no shade here. I think it made the movie really interesting because, like, it's not weighed down by the legacy. You know, I guess Gale Weathers is in the movie for sure, but, like, because you're not having to call back, you know, Sidney Prescott for help this time, it allows like those Carpenter sisters to be more central to the plot. And I think like if you're trying to, which they most certainly are, especially after this weekend, continue this franchise, you know, you gotta let go, you know, like, you know, no spoilers, but in the movie, you gotta let go. Well, you gotta let go, man.
That's true. And I think what this movie has momentum. Like that's the, even like the one I like two, I'm okay with four. But this one, it just moves. I've never seen a Scream movie move like this. And it, I mean, we're not going to talk, but the opening thing is so brilliant. Like the way this thing opens is so good. And I just was knocked out by that. And then like, you saw it in the trailer. The latter scene is really fantastic.
He's talking about, he saw at the start of the film, boom, We Ate Movies poster.
Yes.
And then later in the film, that other fantastic moment of another one.
First of all, I'm shocked Jenna Ortega was tall enough to block our poster, because she might be the smallest actress in Hollywood. You're watching movie, the camera just goes whenever she's on screen.
I think it was a thing where like they must have had the fucking camera on the floor like Orson Welles. I mean, I don't know how else you do it.
Because it's not like Monica Barrera is like fucking Kane, but like she's towering over this girl. But I agree that the opening Melissa Barrera, keep fucking that up. I really like the opening. I think what was I going to say? Henry Zerny, by the way, a nice little Henry Zerny turn. Love that.
Well, that's Ready or Not.
From Ready or Not. Yeah.
The dude from Mission Impossible.
Yes.
I can tell you're very upset.
And Jack Ryan's nemesis.
Yeah, oh, dude. Shit.
Yeah, man.
I had no idea that it was that guy. Oh, that's incredible. Just to throw some praise on that, the cold open again, like, it's the kind of shit that, like, you can tell the movie's written by people who appreciate the franchise and understand things to do to make it feel fresh.
Yes.
Again, no spoilers, but like fucking well done, James and Guy, on that one for sure.
Yeah.
So go see the movie, man. Try to spot where our posters are. One is a little easier than the other one, but it was very, very cool to have that honor. If you told fucking 1996 me about that, he'd be like, "Who are you, fucking pervert? Get out of here."
So I mean, I don't have the numbers from Scream 5, you know, but Scream 6 poster of We Hate Movies, huge box office increase.
Yep.
Right.
Scream 7, we're in the movie. We might be talking about $100 million opening weekend. We might be talking about that.
Look out, James Cameron. So yeah, go see that movie, folks. All right. What we've all been waiting for, it's on the title of this episode here on YouTube, of course, our discussion of Hollywood's biggest night. Mm-hmm. Which was just last night. You guys all watched the broadcast?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, quite disappointed. You know, Tar and Tartity Tartar didn't get anything.
Oh, my God.
It fucking annoyed
well
me.
Well done.
Yeah.
It did. The shutout of Banshees and the shutout of Tar. Two of my favorite. I think my favorite movie was Banshees. Tar might have been two or three. I have to pull up my Letterboxd nonsense. I really like Everywhere Everything, and I don't want there. It's this weird place where I know that the backlash is coming for that movie, and it's gonna be pretty. It's gonna be pretty unfair because it's a really great movie. It's a really fun movie, and whenever a genre movie wins an Oscar or wins Best Picture, the knives are out from the genre heads, which is always fascinating.
Well, I think it's part of it is like it's a very cute movie, I guess.
Yes.
And I think that's really where you get into the problem with the bitter online film communities is they don't want the twee stuff, you know?
Yeah,
that is. I mean, that's always going to be, because I'll speak as someone who's like just fine with this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I was happy to see it. It's a creative movie. Like, I give it that. Like, most of a lot of these movies that win this thing are not at all. I don't think it's as successful emotionally as it's trying to be, but the both the actors winning, I was very happy about. Michelle Yeoh winning, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name.
Ke-Huy Quan. And also Jamie Lee, man.
I mean, I'm more happy about two of them than that one. I think it's not something to get pissy about. It's really something that is just like, I think it's good that this movie won.
let people who liked this movie and this movie was important to them.
Yes.
Let them be happy about it. Because you know what, man? You being nasty to people online about this yes. movie does nothing for anybody. And if it makes your fucking little dick hard doing that, reconsider how you fucking treat people, man. How about that?
No, I agree. I mean, I think that like, but again, to Eric's point, I do think that a lot of movies were overlooked. Movies that I love, Tar and Banshees for sure. I mean,
Elvis,
absolutely. I think deserved a lot more than that.
We weren't able to give technical awards to Elvis because we were too busy all going All Quiet on the Western What? Like,
just sure.
What the fuck? I actually have a file photo. I couldn't even believe this. Found this on the internet. File photo of me watching all those awards come in last night. Couldn't believe I found this.
I have not seen them. This is the one that I haven't seen. Full disclosure.
Yeah,
I have not either.
Because I'm like, what am I going to do? Watch a 3-hour German war movie?
Don't watch it.
Was it even put out in the theater? Can I ask that?
Probably.
It was
brief or something?
I had it for a while, at least.
Well, that's like not helping me out in the sticks. I tried to go see like every movie in the theater, and it's not in the theater. I'm not fucking watching. Netflix anymore. I feel
they just. I think they just did it for qualifiers, man. Because it was like IFC for a little bit.
It's bullshit.
And then the Paris, which Netflix owns, so that does not count. It was just to get the qualifier, and then. Go see it on our fucking ruddy platform.
It's an attempt, and I think a really bad one, at making the first 15-20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan last for 2 hours and 12 minutes. it's really, really bad. When it started rolling in like that, I was like, gee, I was getting a little, I was getting pissed.
What is this?
The meat grinder of war, right? And we're really leaning into that. Navalny won earlier. So there's definitely like, you know, people in Malibu fiddling with their New York Times subscriptions, thinking about how terrible war is. I think that's what influenced a lot last night.
You're probably right on that.
I think also like it's a lot of the Grampies being like, oh, I can vote for All Quiet again.
Yeah.
They're, thinking it's something it's not.
They were trying to turn down the volume on their TV by pressing fiddling in. All Quiet, please.
I just sort of hate the sweep in general. And this goes for think most times there's a sweep. It's like, okay, we're just letting the snowball run away with itself, like kind of a thing. And like that happened with All Quiet, like, oh, because it is the bat, you know, because I loved it so much and because the cinematography was great, that means the sound design is great, that means the costumes were great. It's like, no, not necessarily. You know what I mean?
Didn't we at least give one sound award to Top Gun?
I believe Top Gun
won one. RRR one song.
Thank God.
The fucking Lord.
That's nice.
Because those, I gotta tell you, every other song that they played was the same song. Just this lo-fi, I will carry you and you're gonna carry me too. Like whatever nonsense of a, like, I just, all of those Oscar songs sound exactly the same at this point, these original songs. Sorry.
I think you meant Hold My Hand, Steve. That's
yes.
what we are. Can I say though, I did appreciate Garage Rock Lady Gaga. That was kind of, I was like, That's an interesting look for you, Lady Gaga.
Me and my friend Blood Pop are here to talk about this song that we made, this very personal song we made for Top Gun Maverick.
Right. And that look, was that pre-recorded or was she actually dressed like that on Hollywood's Biggest Night?
No, she wasn't. Costume change.
Exactly. What an insane idea to be like, to come totally dressed to the nines, full makeup, and then be like, now I'm going to take a shower at the Oscars and come out in a t-shirt. Like,
well, you know what? It's fucked up, dude, because I'll tell you right now, I would have thought it would be rad as hell if she walked that carpet with the fucking Garage Rock look.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You know that every asshole at E! Entertainment and wherever else would be like, can you just believe? What was she thinking? You know what I mean? So like, you have to do that. You're obligated to spend fucking 7 hours in a makeup chair for fear, you know, some TikTok kid yells at you about
Andrew, you know, like all the monocles would be falling off. People would be a stepping hazard across the red carpet.
That's very true.
Everybody's
That's
walking on true. Broken glass after that. It's all bad. Annie Lennox was right.
She predicted it. That was about right. the Oscars. Yeah.
She's always right.
That was about the Oscars. I think the thing a lot of our audience was looking forward to last night did indeed come through. Of course, we're talking about Chris's annual list of who got Farina. Now, we're not going to, go through all of them because, Chris, as you detailed at Crabbin on Twitter, you can find that thread. Yeah. There's a shit ton of them, and you worked late into the night and even had to stop at one point. Is that right? There were too many people?
No, I mean, like, at some point, when we're coming around 1 a.m., I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. This has got to end. I'm not, I will do it for as long as, and, like, this was, I have two lists. I have lists that is ones I'm sure are going to be forgotten, and then ones I'm like, they wouldn't, would they? And there were a lot from the they wouldn't, would they list this year.
There's a lot of, there's a lot on both sides of it, but there were a lot that are WHM faves. And I do have a couple here. Some of them, like, sure, I understand it, but some of them I don't. How the fuck do you Farina Paul Sorvino?
That's insane.
Right.
I mean, like,
right.
Is that like the long arm of Harvey Weinstein still fucking with Hollywood? Like,
I can't imagine. That's the one thing he still has control over is the fucking death list.
He's controlling it from prison, sneaking it to a guard, and then he takes it to someone else and they pass it around.
Because, I mean, they have like this moment for Leota, but like, he's also in Goodfellas, and he had like this huge, long, storied movie career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a gambler, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? Like,
shit,
was around.
If you're concerned about the runtime of that reel, Paul Sorvino and Ray Liotta share several scenes together in Goodfellas, including sometimes they're in the same fucking shot. How about you two birds, one stone, asshole?
You want to save it?
They're Go making ahead, Italian food in the jail cell that is heaven.
Slice and garlic with razors down there. I mean, like, that's so nuts to me just because, like, yeah, he's so huge. And, like, one way you could, if you want to add more names to it, don't cut away to Lenny Kravitz singing some damn song.
Dude,
just
we
play a song live, over the thing.
The live performance aspect of this shit has to stop. Put on an orchestration. And let it rip, baby.
I do like that they do now clearly like a high school graduation must go to everyone, like no clapping for individual people, but it still kind of happens.
Still gets in for the popular kids.
It definitely does. But the vice principal is like no clapping until the end.
Yep, dude. Principal Strickland was at the Oscars just fucking yelling at everybody. Here we go. This was one that was not surprising to me at all because these fuckers have no taste or heart at all. Albert Pyun.
Come on.
You know what? Dude made like what? Fucking 100 movies?
Made a lot of them. And a lot that we've talked about. We're not here if not for Albert Pyun. Like, Captain America. Huge episode for us. Fucking Doll Man, huge episode for us.
Love Hell that yeah. Doll Man.
Doll Man's like, a good time.
Alien from LA and Cyborg are my Radioactive Dreams. I also like a lot, but like, and Nemesis. I haven't seen Nemesis in so long, but like, I always remember it as fun. But like, this was a director who literally just like scrapped things together. Like, literally, the spirit of this kind of stuff is he just worked with what he had, and he made a bunch of movies. He worked with Canon. I mean, this was a career worth celebrating, I think. I'm not gonna, I understand time and everything, but like, at that point, why even have it then?
But no, I agree, because like, we're in specifically this year when we're talking about immigrant stories, we're talking about like fucking and like, yeah, like just the rags to, like, the only way the Oscars care about rags to riches is if your shit is nominated for Oscars, which is its own kind of paradigm, which is kind of bullshit. Like, I agree. Like, celebrate the other side of the industry, the scrappy side of the industry. The
bloody dude was a walking, talking Sammy Fableman, for Christ's sake. Yeah.
But that would be a way to cut it back if they really wanted to cut shit back and just do who was nominated for an Oscar who died.
Yes exactly.
Yep.
Pick one or the other, I guess.
Yeah, streamline it in some way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, my 20s, while being a lot of fun a lot of the time, were pretty rough. I wasn't exactly rolling in dough. I lived at home until I was about 25, and for most of it, I didn't have this show or you lovely people in my life. I just kind of drifted around without direction and didn't know where to voice that. Then I started to get my crap together one piece at a time, and the last piece, which didn't come until my early 30s, was therapy. And man, I wish it came along sooner. Ever since I started sitting down with a licensed therapist, I've had a place to voice my insecurities and try to fashion plans to help me achieve my goals. So that's why I'm thrilled we're sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be flexible, convenient, and suited to meet your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and the good thing is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/WHM today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WHM.
This episode is brought to you in part by Rocket Money, and they have this question for you. They handed to me just now. Mr. Rocket just handed me this. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they pay around $80 a month on subscription services, but the actual total is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. And with Rocket Money, you could lower those bills without resorting to having bean dinners every day of the week. You know, you have those bean dinners to try to save some few bucks, but if you were monitoring your spending with Rocket Money, you didn't necessarily need to eat every bean dinner. So find out what all the fuss is about. You know, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like the Stars app. Don't get me started. You don't have to go through all the back end of the website anymore. You don't have to call customer service. Rocket Money helps you manage all your finances in one place as well and categorizes everything. It's easy to keep track of a whole budget. Even I can do it, and I got rocks in my head. So find out what 3 million people have already done. They've taken the Rocket, folks. Stop throwing the money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/WHM. That is rocketmoney.com/WHM. Once more, rocketmoney.com/WHM, which stands for We Hate Movies.
Here's another one. Big bummer to the WHM verse, of course, Fred Ward.
Oh, yeah.
Character actor in everything.
He was in everything, and he was in the biggest movie about the Academy Awards, Naked Gun 33rd and
a
Third.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
You know, Papschmier will live on. Papschmier. Academy Awards, and it was exciting. And Raquel Welch was there. And
oh, yeah.
Other people.
I heard a report that actually when he wasn't honored, there was a couple of tremors at his graveside.
He's back as a giant lizard, ground lizard thing. Yeah. He's back as a tremor.
Would be great. It's like Kevin Bacon's riding him. Like,
speaking of tasteless jokes, which I actually, because I thought Kimmel was actually really safe last night for the most part. Like, he overdid the slap thing. He overdid a lot of things. I thought that Robert Blake joke was a chef's kiss. I thought that was really ballsy, but very funny. And like,
yeah,
that could have played well on this show is what I'm going to say.
Well, that joke was fine. And then, but that
it's a good joke.
In my opinion, it's a fine joke, but
sure. Okay.
The thing that killed it for me, like any Goodwill, I wasn't with Goodwill for like, I just don't like Jimmy Kimmel in general,
sure.
But like, the thing that killed it is when he did the audience bit with Colin Farrell. Ooh. And all that stuff. It was, I wanted to leave the room. Yeah. It was just so uncomfortable. I'm just like, I understand you have a fucking thing to do. Put on more commercials. Sell more shit to me, please. I beg of you.
More death people.
Please, yeah, there you go. More death people.
Honor the death people.
Then Jimmy Kimmel, who makes me want to become death people.
Well, listen, Jimmy Kimmel, open invite on the show, of course.
Of course.
I think he did a decent job. I think he's probably the only like person who's hosting a late night show that actually gives a fuck about late night.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Yeah, I mean, I thought that, in that safeness, there was also like kind of like a return to sort of like traditional Oscar jokes in a way, like that felt like they were sort of like old fashioned-y, show business-y feeling yes. kind of jokes, which yeah. I appreciated because that's the kind of like Oscar hosting that I enjoy. And I think yep. that's what it yep. should be. A lot of it was like about the movies, which was nice. But yeah, I don't know. I think, Steve, you're totally right about too much on the slap. If they just left it as him walking off the stage that's and great. Doing the bit yeah. about days since, that's fucking funny. I yeah. thought that was a really good one. But like, yeah, I don't know. The you got to come through me thing, like, yeah
it was a lot. I mean, there was like 12 slap jokes and they did them all, like, you know what I mean? They had them yep. all on the table, like, what if we did all of them? It's like, well, no, just do like maybe three,
or how just about do a couple and dead. Show more dead people.
Yeah.
Find your own path towards unrepentant violence in some way, you know. Don't try to talk about last year's, maybe this year's the punch and we can talk about the punch or something.
But that's all kick. That's all they do, though. They reference themselves. Like, that's like yes, the yes. whole fucking thing. Like, and like, I guess I have some goodwill towards Jimmy Kimmel in that, like, as compared to, I still have the fucking rancid taste of Gervais on my fucking tongue.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because he is yeah. the worst that's ever been. Like, just yep, absolute yep. fucking trash.
Was but he like Golden Globes or did he do an Oscar?
He did an Oscar, too.
He did.
Okay. No, he did. I think.
Didn't he do an Oscar?
I don't
he
think
did.
So. I think
the Globes.
Only, I think he only did the Globes. I'm almost.
There wasn't. There wasn't like one year. I think
there was
he did
one
the
Oscars. Oscars.
I'm looking it up.
I don't. Yeah.
Do maybe it was Globes. Know? I thought it was more. I'm gonna kill.
Yeah. What's going on in the chat here?
Somebody tell me.
No, he never hosted the Oscars.
Only God damn it.
Oh, okay.
10 big well, points that's to me.
But it was but that was a pervasive thing, like, because the first time everybody loved it and they're like, oh my god, he really reamed them, and then they're just turned this nastiness, which I agree with Andrew is like not what I'm here for. Like I no. you know what I mean, like I don't mind a little bit of ribbing, but it's like, and also like it's not like you're fucking from the streets, you know what I mean, like
but it's not like the whole thing with that performance when he does things like that is that he's like, aren't I naughty?
Yes.
Or like, is everybody looking at me make the uncomfortable joke?
Well, you know, I think
he's doing part of it. I think that was really good, Chris. I think you should.
It was pretty good.
I fucking hate God. I fucking hate that.
No, I hated him.
You know, here's another one that, you know, unsurprising but very important to us, of course, Jack Keeler.
I mean, you know, the
dude's landlord. But you know what, man? Like, he's getting fucking farina. Like,
just,
I don't...
yeah, just slip my death memorial under the door.
Slip Jeez. My clip under the door, man. Absolutely. Who else do we have here? This one, again, you know, not surprising, but I mean, I don't know. He was a big entertainer, man. Coolio.
I love Coolio.
Yeah.
He should have been in there.
I mean, that song, which was for a movie, by the way, let's not forget, was one of the biggest things in the world for like 2 years or something. Like, it was enormous.
That's true. It also, you know, made Weird Al even huger, so with Amish Paradise parody.
Tom Sizemore surprised nobody, by the way.
Absolutely nobody.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, if we're going to forget about somebody, oh no, did we forget about Tom Sizemore?
Oops. Oh!
I don't think there were any last, like, was Raquel Welch the last, the most recent one, I guess?
That's it. Yeah, she was pretty new.
Yeah.
Pretty fresh.
They should do it, they should honestly do it in order of how warm or cold, you know what I mean? Like,
start
cold, you know, like someone who died in January, and work your way up to those fresh bags.
Eric, you're getting it wrong, because look, they have to start in April, because the January ones are going to be in the
that's true.
So the April's where you get the real fresh.
I didn't want to get your little freshies for the last year's performance. Yes, we'll have to start it in April. Yes,
We'll freeze.
So here we go. I mean, this one is a bunch of bullshit. Fucking Gilbert.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried Farina.
Friend of the show.
And if we're going to suck on the Disney teat and show fucking 24 minutes of The Little Mermaid, which looks like shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
yikes. I hope that is like effects not completed.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to talk, he's Iago in Aladdin.
Yeah,
you know what
of
I mean?
Course.
Like, right, huge deal. He's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's an entertainer. Like, it's a face I know and that, like, your audience knows. Like,
they all would have known, man. Exactly.
These other, like, a lot of these, like, I get it. Like, the technical guy should have some, like, some sway there and should be celebrated in there, I guess. But, like, to have, like, so many of these very recognizable faces to a broad audience, like,
yeah.
People know Fred Ward. People know Paul Sorvino. Yeah. People know fucking Gilbert Gottfried. Like, why take them out when they were the people that they remember and celebrate?
I also love the audacity to have the president of the Academy be the hammer this year. Whoever that guy was like, but he was the last one. Because there's always the question, because this is a weird popularity contest, who's going to be the last one?
Right,
the fact
right.
that it was the Oscar guy, I was like, that ain't it.
No, it should have been Khan. It should have been James Khan. I mean, I feel that should have been pretty obvious. Yep.
Jimmy Khan was definitely one of the ones where the vice principal was like, keep it down till the end. also, Freeman, of course, the Seinfeld moms, as Chris called them. Yes. Stell Harris, of course, and Liz Sheridan.
The best.
Estelle Harris, yes, in not a ton of movies. Liz Sheridan, I think, probably more movies.
More movies, but not as, like, the screen time is not. Like, Estelle Harris was always a character. Liz was much more of, like, just one scener. And she'd usually do good in that one scene, but...
Yeah. Isn't she... didn't Liz Sheridan play the, like, sorority mom in some slasher movie? It's that not Black Christmas, right. But...
Yeah.
Oh, no. Shit. She is in some lame horror movie, I think. Maybe it's a good horror movie. I don't remember.
I mean, it is a horror movie, I suppose. It's just not like a genre movie. Star 80, I know she's in.
Mm. Oh, the Bob Fosse movie?
Yeah. That is a horror. Tough movie.
I never saw it.
Really tough movie. It's about the Peter Bogdanovich's ex-fiance who was murdered by her ex-husband.
Oh, no thanks.
Yeah. Good. Pretty gravy. Tough stuff. Yeah.
Does it star Robert Blake?
Andrew, you know, it sounded really familiar to me, this Liz Sheridan horror type of credit.
Oh, yeah.
School Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is.
That was a side odor sleaze back in the day, folks, I believe. Yeah. Right? We covered that, and it was... ghost trying to have sex with ladies, basically. So enjoy that.
Hulu has a new show called School Spirits. And I keep being like, is it based on? Are we going to start fucking? And the answer is no.
Damn, oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
That sucks. Now, you know, this is like we were saying, you leave like the big person for last, right? I think the biggest, or, you know, IMO and maybe two relations, you know, in WHM. David Warner, that's the hammer for the fucking Farinas, yes, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go.
It's crazy.
You're in two different Star Trek motion pictures. Come on, man. What else do you want? What the else Omen? Do you want from somebody?
Yeah, oh, maybe he's in one of the most famous horror movies of all time then, with, I think, the still to this day best on-screen decapitation.
Yes. I mean, the one that, like, this... David Warner is, like, up in my top three for this, but the one that, like...
Yeah, who else? Yeah, okay.
Anne Heche is the one where I'm like, how?
That's kind of nuts.
How?
Yeah.
Like, what? Ellen, Ellen said no.
Well, I guess.
I think hey, she was a shitty Oscar host.
I think Chris is more on the Sizemore side of things because of how she died, and, like, you know what I mean? We're still itchy on that, like, which is none of my business. I don't know, man. Like, she had a fucking problem, and, like, she certainly paid the price.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, clearly nobody else has problems in this industry.
Exactly. So,
like, what the fuck? Like,
no, they don't.
Cares?
It's all good.
Yeah. No, but I think, you know, to what Steve's saying, like, possible intoxication or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's an industry that had, like, forced her out unjustly because of her illness. So, like, I feel like they don't want to put a spotlight on that fuck up. Like, oh, remember how fucking shittily we all treated Anne Heche?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
You know, well, so that gets you fucking Farina.
Horrible.
Pretty shittily.
Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, she had that movie with Harrison Ford who dropped the big award at the end.
He did.
Six days, seven nights. Oof. He's looking his age these days.
Doctor Plane Harrison Crash? Ford. Yeah, dude. He's looking rough. It sucks. I mean, I love the guy, but Jesus, it was hard to watch, honestly.
We need to let some of these 80-year-olds go.
You know what I mean? And let them.
Yeah.
Like,
there's You're talking euthanasia or something?
No, just let them have their nice retirement and stop bothering everybody. You know what
Seriously.
I mean? Like with franchise sequels and second presidential runs.
I guess
you know what I mean?
I guess it's just the need for relevance.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, but like if so. Harrison Ford wasn't out at the Oscars last night, like he's still incredibly relevant. Yeah, and right. without this new Indiana Jones movie, he'd still be incredibly relevant. He's fucking Harrison
Ford.
Right.
I'm just saying you probably shouldn't be in either of those things, the Oscars or the Indiana Jones movie, which kind of looks good, but I don't know, you know?
Morgan Freeman not looking fantastic. God bless fucking Gene Hackman. Anyone see that awesome picture of him at a gas station last week or something like that?
And oh, no, there's a new one?
He's like, he's a living skeleton. He's got a cup of coffee. He's got this cool mustache and kind of long hair. And he's like, that's why I'm not in movies anymore, dude. I'm going to the gas station, and this is a big deal for me because I'm 90-something years old. Mm-hmm. Please leave me alone.
Oh, my God. I'm going to send... I found the photo. I'm going to send it to you guys.
Oh, yeah. Let me see this guy here.
It's a gorgeous.
You can always count on the New York Post, folks.
Oh, of course. Oh yeah. See, he's just like a fucking badass old man. I got my coffee.
It looks. He looks awesome.
Out of the way.
Exactly. But at least he's not like a best supporting actor.
Yep. Yep.
Like that.
I mean,
like that.
Yeah. I mean, part of me thinks they don't want to give it over to the younger generation.
Yes.
Because. Younger people aren't really watching shit like this.
Yeah.
Like they don't care. Like
because
so they're still trying to milk like the generations before.
Exactly.
They're like, get Harrison Ford back up there. Get fucking Warren Beatty to give a fucking Oscar.
Young people given the opportunities in the industry that would maybe have made everyone give a shit down the road because now you see all these big we're never getting back to this movie star mountain we once had.
And no,
We could have just done it. We could have just done it, but we didn't.
You know why? Because honestly, and this is what one thing, again, I'm happy about this summer is when Chris Pratt is no longer in casting rumors, then you have my permission to die. Because honestly, dude, fucking Chris Pratt, Indiana Jones, fuck off. I don't want to know about it.
Nope.
Is that something that's being chatted about? No,
that was always, I mean, years ago, that was
a big
deal. Like, oh, it's going to be Chris Pratt. It's like,
no.
How about this? You don't need to make another Indiana Jones movie ever again.
That's a cool idea.
And how perhaps about there's
make,
that.
Make another movie star that's not Chris Pratt.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's what we got. Adam Driver. Nobody went to the dinosaur movie. So listen, folks. This weekend, everybody get your buns out and see Scream 6
that's
at
right.
65.
Yes.
Prioritize Scream 6. You got to find them poster nugs.
Yeah, you know,
but
if you
then
miss,
go
you miss-
see... you.
You miss our poster, go back and watch it again and again until you see it.
But you watch that goddamn dinosaur movie. You support one of the possible like last movie stars, you know, to exist in the way that we think of movie stars. You support him making shit.
Please.
Chris
please
Cabin
do.
Did it.
I did it. What do you want me to do here?
We're all doing I love, our part.
I went into the theater to fucking see Annette. I went and did that shit.
Oh, as did I. Excellent film. By the way, maybe Adam Driver, maybe we can get a better fucking title on that thing. What the fuck am I going to see 65 for?
Is this dude, I thought
about,
it was...
Is this a movie about Mickey Mantle? Like,
did I steal it? Dude, I was about to say, what is this, another movie based off of fucking Billy Crystal thing?
It's the AARP story.
Yes.
Oh, dude, the fight for like getting the numbers settled at 65. Yeah. I don't know, man. It is a bad time. I mean, you know, you got to call that thing fucking Dino Hunt or something. I don't know,
time
man.
Dino or,
time
know.
Dino.
Time
yeah.
Dinos. Dino. Yeah, absolutely. The time, dude. Yeah. Can you? And then it's Adam Driver talking to whoever else is in the movie. Like, we got to get those time dinos, you know? Yeah. You know.
What about Dinosaur in the Grass? Ooh.
Ooh,
prestige-y,
dude.
Maybe?
Dude. But then it's like A24's Dinosaur in the Grass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were certainly making sure to thank them up and down the board.
They had a huge night last night.
No, oh, yeah.
Massive very fucking nice. Night, man. I mean, it's kind of weird because, like, they, you know, they had two movies in that, and then, like, Netflix, I mean, just All Quiet, like that was it. That was the thing for them.
Yep.
I guess that's how you win Oscars. Just put out a movie that no one fucking saw. Like,
yeah.
I don't, you know, it's kind of weird. I think in, you know, previous years, there's been more, a various amount of, like Netflix titles in the conversation. And this year was, it was very much not that. Cause what are you going to do? Nominate the Gray Man, folks? Like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Just be all quiet and that's it.
Nobody liked White Noise except for me. So, you know, speaking of Adam Driver,
it's fine. There's something to it. It is weird that they shot it in East Palestine.
Oh,
it
really?
It is a little weird that that happened.
Really? In Ohio?
Yes.
So they were like, they did that?
Yeah, they filmed it in the place where the thing happened.
No.
They're covering, they're covering their tracks for something then, right? Right?
Yes, Mulder.
I can't believe, and, you know, I love the man, you know, so it's no shade on David Byrne. I don't know how we don't nominate the fucking great James Murphy LCD Sound System song, but that fucking garbage tune that he was nominated for with Everything Everywhere. Yikes, that song's terrible.
Yeah, not a fan. I mean, honestly, if it was other than Not to just knocks everything. It would knock everything off the board in any year.
Yeah,
but this year, it just so sweeped everything off. To me, I was just like, nothing was even. I like Rihanna, and that song didn't do anything for me.
No,
that song did nothing for me either.
They're all these slow burn power ballads that are not even that don't have the power, you know, they're just slow burners.
Right.
Something I saw in the chat that I did want to bring up, Pinocchio, big animated win.
Oh,
love that.
Yes, oh GDT. My god, dude.
And sticking it to Disney,
sticking it right, fingering their fucking ass with his speech. It was awesome.
Congrats, I finger Netflix. Your ass.
Congrats, Netflix.
That was a Netflix one. You're totally right. You're totally right. And they did Netflix presented a fucking rightfully banger campaign for that movie.
Yes.
And dude, he gets up there and he's tearing up. And whenever that gentle man tears up, you know, I'm tearing up. I fucking love GDT.
Yep.
And him just making this plea, like, come support us more. Like, you know, animation is cinema. Like, god damn, he's great.
Yeah.
And very passionate man.
And it was a great plea for a great movie, honestly. It was one of my favorite movies last year.
Yeah. Period. I love Mark Gustafson saying, and here's the man who inspired this genius film and my drinking problem.
Oh, can we, Mark, it's 4 a.m. Can we do that again? It is, it's not looking quite as creepy as I would like it to be. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Do you think he's calling him up and he's like, oh, hello, Mark. Yes, I have the Geppetto puppet on the phone. And he has he's doing notes for the puppets.
I was waiting for them to cut to Greta Gerwig saying, I still love him. Just a flutter.
But yeah, eat shit, that fucking Tom Hanks Pinocchio movie, huh? Nobody wanted that donkey shit.
It was a Tom Hanks Pinocchio movie?
Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah.
Dude, directed by Robert Zemeckis.
By Bobby Z.
This is not real.
We secretly put that movie out on Disney Plus last year
because it's the string of red hot fucking live action remakes of Disney cartoons, right? Everybody loves these things. Let's stop the Oscars and talk about
it. Because they made the Lady and the Tramp where they're actually dogs that are having fucking dirty sex in an alley or something.
Nobody saw that movie. Nobody liked Aladdin. Nope. Nobody liked Aladdin. I think people saw it, but nobody liked it. Like, this shit needs to stop.
Well, that's what this is going to be. It's going to be movies that nobody likes that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's just kind of going to be what that's going to be what it's like for a while, I think. I don't know where we're going to go. Like, because what's the next horizon? I don't know what it is.
And I mean, that's
something new. How about that? There's your next horizon.
What's kind of great about Celebrating Everywhere, Everything All at Once, it's a movie that made a ton of money, that had an emotional core, that was original. God help me, IP, you know what I mean? Like, it's an original story that actually was really fun and unexpected. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, again, like, is it the best movie anyone's ever made? Probably not. But I am way behind celebrating that movie in all of its forms, except for the Jamie Lee win. A little bit creaky hand on the Jamie Lee.
It's a fucking Scorsese for The Departed. That's exactly what it is.
An Arkin.
And, you know, her fucking mentioning Janet Leigh and Tony
Curtis,
of course. I mean,
not Soprano.
Sorry.
Yeah,
But like, damn, dude, like her just saying, you know, I don't know. I thought it was very sweet. It's a career win.
It is. It is.
For sure. And it's a way that you can do it where, man, this just reminded me of something. It's a way that you can like give someone an Academy Award for an incredible career and not these debasing lifetime achievement things where they announce you fucking separately from Oscar winners. You see the shit with Sam Jackson?
Yeah, that was like, weird.
It was like, you know, him with Oscar winner, whoever the fuck he was paired with. And then an honorary Oscar winner, Sam Jackson. And I'm like, thanks for acknowledging it's a participation trophy.
Wow. Yes. But you know what? Yeah. I'm not against receiving one.
I will say that. I mean, and the other thing is Angela Bassett in the Career Achievement Award, but it's a worse movie, but a better performance. And like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're trying to tip that scale a little bit because, and again, she's great in that movie. That movie is not very good, folks.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, she's one of the few great things about it, to be honest.
And like Jamie Lee's very good, but not as good as Angela in a much better movie. So that's kind of your, I guess, some of the other arithmetic. Carrie Condon should have won an IMHO.
Person. Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing in that movie. I will say that I was glad What's Her Face won again, Ruth Carter for Black Panther.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was made.
God damn.
I mean, the costumes were great in both of these.
Not giving it to, you know, the mud-covered uniforms of All Quiet on the Western Front.
that's also a category Elvis could have got. We should have given something to Elvis.
You made 9,000 separate costumes for Elvis, dude, and we can't give an award to that? Good God.
Mm-hmm. Also, Tar, like we're talking about original, not IP. Like,
yep.
Yeah,
that was a great original screenplay. I mean, that was an insanely great performance, but I get it. She's won like 50 times.
What? Yeah. The biggest surprise of the night is what the fuck hat was Todd Field wearing? That?
Thank you, dude. What fucking Johnny Depp cosplay were you fucking going as?
Are we Todd positive Field? It wasn't Darkman as Todd Field?
he's a sleep paralysis demon on his time off.
Dude, I'm gonna wake up and I can't move, and Todd Field is sitting on my chest.
Yeah,
he's gotta suck up those fumes.
Just, and he, you know what, man, you attend the Academy Awards, your fucking movie's nominated, like you got to be game to play. Kimmel Kimmel gave him like the lightest of ribbings and he's just making a fucking piss poor face, like,
yeah.
And he kept, you know, the fucking cowboy hats down the whole come on, man. Did you give a shit that you made this movie? Like, you know, yeah, nothing won, but like, that's being nominated is still being celebrated. And tons of people are going to find this movie after, you know, having it talked about for so long. Like, just one smile, man.
Yep.
One smile, you know, so you don't look like you're in that fucking Vampires of Hollywood band. Come on. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he just didn't look pleased to be there.
No.
All right. I know we're going long here, but another speaking of not pleased to be there. Did anyone see Hugh Grant ice out that red carpet reporter?
Yes. Ooh, man, that was rough.
Obliteration.
Dude, that guy, I think he was like, he told his assistant, like, I have to go to the loo. And the assistant was like, got it. And then he was not sent to the bathroom, but sent on a stage to talk to this person. And he was furious about it.
This is the thing, is you cannot pit a supermodel TikTok celebrity against a cranky British legend. Like,
right, yeah,
he's talking about Vanity Fair in like the Pilgrim's Progress kind of a sense. And everyone's like,
he certainly was.
She thinks it's the magazine. It's just unfair.
She certainly did.
Yes.
I mean, from that, dude, it was a fucking disaster
of
epic
like,
proportions.
She's like, oh, how is it being in Glass Onion? He's like, I was fucking barely in it. Thanks for nothing. And I'm like, oh.
Well, you know, at the same time, it's like he should give a fuck about being there, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you're going to do it, play the game a little bit, dude. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And the funny thing was, like, you could see him on stage clearly being an actor because he was, like, affable and funny in that moment.
Yes.
Or he just, like, really did not want to talk to that person. Yes. I don't know which it is, but boy, man, I was clenching my ass cheeks watching that interview. Brutal shit. And you know what? I have to say, I feel bad. I don't remember the reporter's name, but she fucking handled it like a pro, man. Every answer was like her getting hit in the face with a pie, and she fucking took it and moved on to the next one and really did a great job.
Why, yes, I will go fuck myself. What do you think about the outfits tonight?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, like, eating shit might be something I want to do. Angela Bassett, royalty?
People are saying her name is Ashley Graham.
Okay.
Ashley Graham.
Who was doing that interview. And yikes. Yeah. That was another fucking battlefield, dude, besides All Quiet on the Western Front. I think we should wrap it up here. We're getting close to an hour. So I feel like we could be talking about Hollywood's biggest night for a long time. We got a busy week here on the show, which is great because tomorrow, Listener Request Month continues with, you guessed it, the origins of Gun Kata itself, Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the worst posters I've ever seen. Like, why?
It's terrible.
It's low res horseshit.
It's trying to be an anime or something.
Yes, right? Yeah. Big time.
Which, if you could recognize, like, low res horseshit, there you go. A lot of it seems to be like that.
Come on. We're literally on YouTube right now.
Forgot everyone got spoon fed that shit.
It's the anime people are coming after you, Eric.
But look at this poster. You cannot tell that that's Taye Diggs or Christian Bale. Like, you can't. Like, I feel like this poster's been so bad that I didn't know either of them were in this movie until I watched it.
Yep.
Like, yeah, really, that's fucking a good terrible.
Point. It probably could have gotten more viewers, more, you know. Yeah.
That's entirely possible, dude. But then the action will pick up later in the week over on our Patreon, which is, of course, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where this Thursday, of course, we are continuing our recaps of The Mandalorian with our show, The Mandalorian Half Hour. Mm-hmm. We will be in the week three, you know, creaky hands. So
yeah,
far,
we're having
so
good,
good
enough time. I was probably having too fun. Hard on it last week, but yeah.
I like the last week. I'm curious what's going to happen this week with our big Cthulhu monster. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Dude, if that thing's talking in some way, that would be kind of fun, right? And it's like, you know, George Wendt or, you know, so, like, somebody don't expect to do the voice of a big dragon like that.
It would be George Wendt for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or, hey, how's it going? Hey, Mando. Din Djarin. Let's go to a Cubs game, Din Djarin.
All of a sudden, it does turn into a Pixar movie. The Disney, finally gets happens.
Dude,
everything
they're
merges.
Just gonna sneak it in there. It's like they're gonna have this fucking whatever Saurus thing talk. First step towards just Star Wars Pixar. And then Friday, we're gonna round out the week with another sexy convo on Melrose 210.
Ooh, so fucking hot and heavy. We already recorded this. It is fucking sizzling.
It's sizzling, dude, with Melrose Place's Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes, indeed.
Very hot Thanksgiving.
I hope you left room for seconds. In
spicy
your
turkey.
Ass.
Sloppy seconds.
That's sloppy seconds. Yes. Like someone just finished.
Got
and
it.
Now you're taking a little.
You're going to eat it, right?
Yes, of course.
Hey.
Eat it, yeah.
This fucking stream's gonna get taken down. You keep that showing.
All right, so the dirty stuff's paywalled, so everyone knows.
All right, well, there we go. So we're gonna wrap it here before the fucking stream is cut off. But as always, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like and subscribe and get notifications for this channel whenever we go live. You don't want to miss a second of it. But have a good week, everybody. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Mr. Hollywood.
Chris Cabin.
Adios, folks.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.